The new variant has been detected in several EU countries as well. But vaccine developers say they expect their shots to work against COVID-19 mutations. More than 600,000 vulnerable people have already been vaccinated in the UK, which started administering the Pfizer jab 2.5 weeks ago. But ministers warn the country must double its vaccination target to 2 million a week in order to avoid a third wave.
I think it's an incredibly serious, incredibly dangerous moment. I think all of us always felt that January was going to become very hard and that we were heading into a very hard winter, and hospital leave was being cancelled and ITUs were being got ready. And yet, nevertheless, I feel like we weren't ready for something quite as severe as this feels, with the sheer level of caseload and the added effect of the variant virus building up our R number and making things so much harder than we expected.
The UK hopes to expand its vaccination programme with the rollout of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, which is expected on January 4th. There are now more COVID-19 patients in hospitals in England than there were during the peak of the first wave, and more than 71,000 Britons have died of the virus. Bianca Rahimi, London.
The Israeli regime has been intensifying its moves in the region as media revelations suggest it is intending to build a military base on the Yemeni island of Socotra. Yemen's Supreme Political Council has condemned these suspicious moves, promising Israel a decisive response in case it commits any stupidity against the Yemenis.
The Israeli move is not new, as it is running the region through some puppet regimes. The Yemeni position is clear as it was 6 years ago. We are in the midst of a war launched by Saudi Arabia with the tacit backing of American and Zionist regimes.
The Israeli media have boasted the arrival of the submarine to the Bab al-Mandab Strait after crossing the Suez Canal. An Israeli military spokesman also confirmed the move, claiming the step was taken to counter smart drones Iran could potentially launch from Yemen or Iraq.
The presence of Israeli entities in the Yemen territorial waters dates back to the beginning of the Saudi-led aggression. It was just a year ago. There were plenty of statements by some Arab rulers pledging to stop what they claimed the Iranian expansion in the region. However, the same rulers are silent on the Israeli agenda. They have not only normalized their ties with the regime, but allow its submarines pass through the Red Sea.
It seems that the Yemeni army's possession of missile systems capable of reaching as far as Eilat has become a nightmare for Israel and its cronies. Tel Aviv knows that it will not be immune to the Yemeni retaliation. However, sending one of its submarines is yet another provocative move by Israel to set the region on fire.
Israel is still using Iran as a pretext for its interventions in the region, that despite the exposure of its agenda, especially in Yemen, which is suffering from a war led by Saudi Arabia, but was actually jointly hatched by some Arab regimes and their backers in Washington and Tel Aviv. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have expressed gratitude to Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani 1 year after his assassination by U.S. forces in the Iraqi capital Baghdad. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani played a major role in strengthening Palestinian resistance movements against the Israeli regime.
We commemorate the first anniversary of the martyrdom of the great commander Haj Qasem Soleimani, who died for the sake of Jerusalem al-Quds. This anniversary comes amid great pressures on the resistance in the region. On this occasion, we vow to follow in the footsteps of the commander to liberate Palestine.
Following the assassination of General Soleimani, Palestinians held several events to pay tribute to the late Iranian commander. They considered him as a hero for Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds.
On the anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, we express our great gratitude for sacrifices he made for the sake of oppressed Palestinians.
The assassination of General Soleimani on Donald Trump's orders has sent shockwaves across the West Asia. Soleimani's memory continues to live in the hearts and minds of Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip. الشعب الفلسطيني يؤكد دوره.
Palestinians will continue to remain steadfast and condemn the treason by some Arab countries that have normalized ties with the Zionist regime. On this occasion, Palestinians also vow to fight the occupation until regaining their freedom.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was assassinated in a U.S. airstrike on January 3rd.
Palestinians say martyr Qasem Soleimani has sacrificed his life for the sake of Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds and has always supported Palestinian resistance against the Zionist regime. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Ahead of the first anniversary of the assassination of the former commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, General Qasem Soleimani, people are now holding commemoration ceremonies to pay respect to this late Iranian icon. We went to the city of Qom, where a movement called Resistance Youth Front is formed to support the cause of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who defeated the ominous phenomenon of Daesh. Scholars, youth, activists, and resistance movement supporters from countries like Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India attended the ceremony to tell the world that General Soleimani's cause will not be forgotten.
It's a great pleasure for all of us, for all the people of the world who are free, who just think freely, okay? So such kind of attribution actually led us to not only memorize or recall their memory, actually also to follow their path. That is the path of humanity. That is the real war on terror, war against terror.
Shahid Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, they fight for saving the life of all mankind, of all Muslim and non-Muslim.
General Qasem Soleimani was assassinated by a U.S. strike on January 3rd last year when he was on an official visit to the Iraqi capital Baghdad. Hitting his convoy, the assault also led to the death of many others, including Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, deputy commander of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Units, or Hashd al-Shaabi. Apart from this ceremony held here, within the coming days, a number of other events will be held across Iran under health protocols to pay tribute to General Qasem Soleimani. Human Abedi, Qom.
Afghans are a nation with a long history of resistance against various enemies. Since 19th century, Afghanistan has been invaded by different armies. The Colonial Army of Britain, the Red Army of the Soviet Union, and the Black Army of Terrorism, along with its international backers. They all tried to break the will of Afghans. As experts say, the existence of a resistance spirit among Afghans has helped them to make contacts with other resistance figures beyond the Afghan borders. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was one such figure who was interested in having ties with anti-terrorism and anti-hegemony resistance movements, mainly across the Middle East and some other Asian countries, including Afghanistan.
Lieutenant General Soleimani was popular in many societies like Afghanistan. He was a charismatic leader who fought terrorism and helped many oppressed nations to strongly stand against terrorism.
Many others also believe that the charismatic personality of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani revives for Afghans the memory of Afghanistan's national hero, Ahmad Shah Massoud. It becomes more interesting when you understand that both Soleimani and Massoud had friendly ties before Massoud's assassination only 2 days ahead of the 9/11 attacks.
Lieutenant General Soleimani had a transnational personality. He had close ties and cooperation with our national hero Ahmad Shah Massoud and Professor Rabbani, who were leading anti-terrorism resistance in northern Afghanistan.
Let's not forget that many here in Afghanistan believe the slaying of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was leading regional resistance against terrorists, is not an endpoint in the fight against terror. Rather, his assassination has made the resistance front all the more determined in its campaign against terrorists. سید امین عالمی، کابل.
The first person vaccinated against COVID-19 in Austria, an 84-year-old pensioner who says she wants to see her children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren again without hesitation. The first five volunteers who received the initial doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine included three elderly patients with underlying health conditions and two healthcare personnel. According to the manufacturer, a certain protective effect should already exist 7 days after the first of the two doses is injected. Chancellor Sebastian Kurz and Health Minister Rudolf Anschober, who were present for the vaccinations at Vienna's Medical University, spoke of a historic day.
This is the beginning of the victory against a pandemic and a game changer. We move to normalcy step by step with every vaccination that is carried out.
But the two officials warned of challenging months ahead.
Today marks a turning point, but the fight against the coronavirus has not yet been won.
Anschober said that by the summer, over 4 million doses of the vaccine would be available in Austria, which has a population of almost 9 million. The vaccination is expected to be rolled out in three phases, starting with those in high-risk groups, over 80-year-olds and medical personnel, in the first few weeks of January, and continuing with frontline workers. And from April, the rest of the population, excluding those under the age of 16. Austria entered into its third hard lockdown on Saturday, with the Chancellor warning against a third corona wave and a massive increase in infection numbers across Europe.
Officials have made it clear that another year of recurring lockdowns is not an option. The hope is that with more vaccinations, that can be avoided. Homa Leski, Vienna.
On International Day of Epidemic Preparedness, Gaza's health sector continues to suffer due to the Israeli blockade. Coronavirus infections have skyrocketed in the Gaza Strip, which is one of the world's most densely populated areas. Despite the increasing number of COVID-19 infections, the Israeli regime continues to place tight restrictions on the entry of humanitarian supplies, including medicines and hospital equipment. Human rights organizations say Israel's illegal practices have compounded the risk of coronavirus infection for nearly 2 million Palestinians, making it extremely difficult to combat the deadly pandemic.
The Israeli blockade has taken its toll on all aspects of life in Gaza, and especially on the health sector. The health sector is suffering from an unprecedented deterioration due to lack of medicines and medical supplies, as well as trained medical personnel to deal with the coronavirus pandemic.
The coronavirus pandemic has complicated the already dire humanitarian situation in the blockaded Gaza Strip. The Israeli blockade and multiple wars since 2007 have had a devastating impact on the well-being of people in the tiny coastal sliver.
Our people are suffering because of the Zionist blockade under the watchful eye of the international community. The situation has only gotten worse amid the coronavirus pandemic.
As infections continue to rise, experts are calling for the complete lifting of the Israeli blockade to help fight the spread of the coronavirus.
The humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip is catastrophic and is getting worse by the day. The health sector is unable to provide proper medical care to coronavirus patients and even struggles to provide tests for the deadly virus. Gaza has a population of over 2 million and hospitals don't have enough beds for the patients.
The COVID-19 pandemic remains a serious concern due to the capacity gaps in the enclave's health system.
Hospitals in the tiny enclave lack medical facilities and medicines to tackle the deadly virus due to years of Israeli blockade. Israeli inhumane practices have battered Gaza's health sector since 2007. Ashraf Shana, Gaza.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is part of a speech of Ayatollah Khamenei delivered on January 8, 2020, in a meeting with the people of the city of Qom. The meeting was held on the anniversary of an uprising led by the people of the city of Qom on January 9, 1978.
An important point in this respect is that regarding the domestic issues of the country, well, most comments about him are about his regional battles and activities. Shahid Soleimani did not belong to any party and faction, but at the same time, he was a revolutionary in the complete sense of the word. The revolution and being revolutionary were his definite red lines. Some people should not try to undermine this aspect of his personality. This is a reality about him. He was absorbed by the revolution, and being a revolutionary was his red line. Of course, he was not interested in aligning himself with different parties, different factions, and the like, but he was completely committed to the idea of being a revolutionary. He was committed to the revolution and to the auspicious and dazzling guidelines of our late Imam, may God bestow paradise on him.
Your light and love, policy, nothing more I'd ever want to need. My protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
One example of his insight and his courage was that the enemies might know this well, but some friends might not know it, is that he managed to foil all illegitimate plots of the Americans in West Asia with the help of regional peoples, or it could be said with the support that he offered to them. That man managed to stand up to all the plots that had been hatched with money, with vast propaganda efforts made by the Americans, with the diplomatic capabilities of the Americans, and with the bullying that they exert on politicians, particularly on some weak countries. He managed to foil all the schemes set up by them in West Asia. Regarding Palestine, the Americans intended to consign the issue of Palestine to oblivion and to keep the Palestinians weak so that they would not dare speak of fighting. But that man empowered the Palestinians. He did something to make a small region like the Gaza Strip, which is a small strip of land, stand up to the Zionist regime despite all their extravagant claims. He created such a disastrous situation for them that they asked for ceasefire after just 48 hours. This was done by Haj Qasem Soleimani.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Thank you.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Half a kilo of halim, please.
Hi, sir.
Hi, kiddie. Good morning.
Number one, hands up. Number two, hands on the waist.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Get ready for jogging to warm up.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
One loaf of well-baked bread, please.
The Supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people. on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty ones.
The debate.
Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip have held their first joint military drills since the year 2014. They held the drill to unveil their military capabilities and equipment. Now, the immediate question that arises is, why are they holding the drills at this time? Is there something in the works, or is it simply a show of force, resistance, and preparation against their enemy, Israel? In this edition of the debate, we will zoom in on these two questions and find out from our guests where the situation may end up.
In an incident considered the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, the joint chamber of the Palestinian resistance factions held its first large-scale joint military drill over the past years. During the one-day military exercise, Palestinian groups unveiled some of their military capabilities and equipment.
The Palestinian resistance groups showed their unity in this joint military exercise. The drill is aimed at showing the improvement of the resistance capabilities. It sends this message to the Israeli enemy that we are capable of facing any aggression against the Gaza Strip.
The drill consisted of simulation of ground and air military operations, during which several rockets were fired toward the sea.
We believe that the unity of all Palestinian groups is the only way to improve our strength and capabilities in order to face the Israeli regime. It shows how strong we have become in our struggle against the occupation.
Today, the resistance groups sent a strong message to the Israeli army that the Palestinian resistance is capable of defending Palestinians against any aggression. It also showed how united they are in their resistance.
Since 2008, Israel has waged three wars against Gaza, where 2 million Palestinians live under a 12-year Israeli blockade from air, sea, and land. Thousands of Gazans have been killed in each of these deadly wars.
The Palestinian resistance groups say they hold the drills to show their military capabilities as well as unity in fight against the Israeli aggression. Ruba Shabit, Gaza.
Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, we have Moti Abu Musabe, who's a Palestinian political activist, joining us from Gaza City. And we also have Khalid Barakat, who's a journalist and activist, joining us from Vancouver. I'd like to welcome you both. Moti Abu Saba, let me first start with you and ask you a straightforward question. Why the Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip are holding their first joint military drill, something that hasn't happened since the year 2014, the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip?
Yes, first of all, thanks for having me here once again. And actually, if we want to talk about this military drill implemented by the Palestinian military factions here in the Gaza Strip, I think we need to focus and shed the light on the messages that the Palestinian factions wanted to send to different parties, actually, at the same time. And I think the first one and the most important message was directed to the Israeli occupation and the Israeli leaders, especially in these political conditions and the political deadlocks that those leaders are experiencing on the Israeli arena. We all realize and we all know that the Israeli leaders used to maneuver and evade their internal political deadlocks and the crisis by attacking the Palestinian territories in order to export those political deadlocks and the crisis. So the clear message for the Israeli leaders was that the Palestinian resistance factions are well prepared to confront and to resist any Israeli aggression and offense against the population of the Gaza Strip. The clear message also was that the Palestinian resistance would never allow for the Israeli leaders to invest and to exploit and to use the Palestinian blood as a winning card to achieve their political aims at the expense of the Palestinian people. So I think that the message was clear to the Israeli occupation that the situation here is nowadays is different, and any decision and making such a decision of attacking Gaza is different from any other precedent decisions today. Any attack and any offense against Gaza Strip would never be a picnic for the Israeli soldiers. I think, was the first one. Secondly, I think that the Palestinian resistance factions through this military drill reminded the whole world and the international community that is still turning a blind eye to the Israeli ongoing perpetual crimes against the Palestinian people. Okay. That the Palestinians have the mere right to defend themselves against that Israeli crime.
Right, right. Okay, very well. Let's move on to Khaled Barakat. Khaled Barakat, so our guest was zooming in amongst many points that he made about the reaction that Israel is going to have on this. We're looking at 12 Palestinian armed groups that actually held these drills, firing rockets into the Mediterranean, launching drones in the airspace. We saw rockets being fired, and of course the footage there is testament to the depth of what was executed. Do you think that, well, what message will that send to Israel, in your opinion, and do you think that that would change Israel's calculations when they and if they want to attack Gaza, as they have done so many times, including obviously the three major wars?
Yes, I think that the message is that the Palestinian resistance is sending to Israel and other parties as well, is that the internal Palestinian front in Gaza is united, and the Palestinian resistance factions and forces are united in confronting any Israeli aggression. Let's remember that these Palestinian military drills and exercises comes at the anniversary of the massacre that took place in 2008 when Israel launched a full-scale aggression against people in Gaza in 2008, what they called CAS-led, and it resulted in killing more than 1,400 Palestinians, the destruction of thousands of houses, killing more than 430 Palestinian children, even the destruction of some of UN facilities, hospitals, mosques, and so on and so forth. So this message to Israel is that we, Palestinian resistance, are ready and alert, and they will respond against any Israeli aggression. Let's remember that also in that time, Obama was getting ready to be in the White House, very similar situation to what we see today with Biden, and Israel used deception at that time in order to launch a sudden attack against people in Gaza. The first day of that aggression resulted in the killing of more than 200 Palestinians. And so the resistance wants to send a message that we are alert, we are united, and at the same time, it is a message to the normalization camp and the defeated camp in the region that Gaza, despite the siege that it's been placed under for more than 12 years now, the capabilities of the Palestinian resistance is not, you know, you cannot compare it to 2008. Today, they're united, they're strong, and the not just the Palestinian resistance, but resisting camp in the region as well are united and alert.
Okay, so Moti, let's look at another outcome out of this one-day drill that has come out, and that is that obviously, aside from the unity that is shown amongst these Palestinian factions, We're also looking at how they have said that perhaps this lack of Palestinian reconciliation and the normalization of relations with Israel by some Arab countries is another message that this sends out. Do you agree with that?
Yes, actually, beside what your guest has mentioned and beside what was mentioned by throughout the report, I think the message was clear that despite, especially in these hard circumstances and this hard time that the Palestinians and the Palestinian cause is experiencing, and actually we all are witnessing the cruel attempts of the surrounding Arab regimes to liquidate the Palestinian cause and end the Palestinians' rights nowadays. So I think the timing of this drill is key and important, that despite all those shameful and disgraceful agreements that aims to liquidate the Palestinian cause in favor of the Israeli occupation in return for some investments here or there. And actually, the message was clear, that despite all of that, Palestinians would never allow to relinquish their rights to drop their weapons or to raise the white flag. Yes, those normalization agreements constituted a stab in the back of the Palestinian people and abandoned the Palestinian people alone in front of the criminal Israeli occupation. But the Palestinians, despite all of that, would never drop their weapon and would never surrender for the Israeli occupation. I think this this is a clear message in this time exactly. The second message is, was that despite the failure of the reconciliation negotiation between the Palestinian faction, the real unity translated on the ground and expressed by the and was expressed by the such a military drill, which constituted a clear has delivered a clear message that the real unity is in the field and the Palestinians' military, and there is a wide consensus among the Palestinians that the resistance choice is the mere choice for them to regain their rights and to have their rights again. Okay. Of living in dignity and in freedom.
Okay, Khaled Barakat, this comes at a time when recently, a day or two ago, we had the leader of Lebanon's Hezbollah, Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, that said that Israel had threatened to hit one of its facilities, and the Secretary General said that, if you do that, we have, twice as many precision-guided missiles as a year ago, and we have the capability with these missiles to hit all of Palestine and all of Israel, the occupied territories. Then you have the Palestinian factions that executed this one-day military exercise, which is very large-scale and one of its kind. So we can see that the resistance front is very strong. Is there a connection here? And also, again, if I was Israel and I'm looking at these events, I would think twice about any military adventurism that perhaps they might want to do or go ahead with.
Absolutely. And we see that the unity of the resistance camp in the region is more strong today than any other time in the last 10 years. The coordination and the level of cooperation between the resistance in Lebanon and the Palestinian resistance, with the support of Iran and Syria, and the popular support, the wide popular support that the resistance enjoy. We see that the Palestinian people across the board, whether in Palestine or in exile and diaspora, looks at the Palestinian resistance and the Lebanese resistance as a one front. And we also see the vast popular support that these exercises are getting. Now, the challenge really is the political challenge, the internal political challenges, whether in Lebanon or in Palestine, and more importantly, the political front. We see that the weak link in Palestine is the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah. This is a force, a reactionary force that is now trying to, send messages to the Biden administration that they're ready to go back to negotiations and security cooperation with Israel. Today in Palestine, we see these two camps very clearly, the camp of resistance and the camp of, the Palestinian Authority and security cooperation. So in Lebanon, the interview, the comprehensive interview that General Secretary of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, gave the interview of the year, he pointed out that the capabilities of the resistance in Lebanon in the last, since 2006 battle until today, we see that how the capabilities is absolutely, mounted and is more strong than before. Also, in a few days, it will be the anniversary of the martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani, and the crime that the United States have committed against Iran and Iraq by assassinating a general who played central role in supporting both the Lebanese and the Palestinian resistance. So it is, in a way, a message to the enemy, but at the same time, it is a message of solidarity and unity.
Okay, since you've touched on that there, Khaled Barakat, I'm going to ask our guest there from Gaza City. You know, we are looking at this one-year anniversary, and Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was very symbolic for the Palestinians who looked at his martyrdom and the way that he was assassinated very deeply, that he was somebody who sacrificed his life for Palestine, for Jerusalem al-Quds, and obviously supported the Palestinian resistance. We're looking again at this, the focus of our debate, which is this one-day military exercise, and there's lots of notions that there's going to be retaliation that may occur as a result. Do you think, therefore, that there is a connection here, that this anniversary is coming up, and you have this one-day military exercise that happened in the Gaza Strip? Mot Abu Masada.
Yes. Actually, there is a strong connection between these two topics. There is a clear message that the Palestinians realize the role that Qasem Soleimani has played in supporting the Palestinian resistance here in the Gaza Strip. And we cannot neglect or ignore such a role that the martyr Qasem Soleimani has played in supporting the Palestinian resistance. The clear message, I think that despite all the cruel attempts and despite all the attacks and all the clampdown against the resistance pivot here in the region, that the resistance the resistance fronts either it was in Palestine, in Gaza, or in Lebanon, or in any other place, is still strong against the Israeli occupation and the United States.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that. We're going to end it there. Let me thank our guest. You were just listening to Moti Abu Musaba, Palestinian political activist there from Gaza City, and Khaled Barakat, a pleasure to have you, journalists and activists from Vancouver. And that does it for this edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tagli, the entire team here in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye until next time.
IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Great hero, general of hearts. The former commander of the IRGC Quds Force, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, the deputy commander of the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Organization, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and their 8 companions all attained martyrdom on 3rd of January 2020 in an act of terrorism directly ordered by the criminal US President Donald Trump. But what was the purpose of this nefarious act of terrorism on 3rd of January 2020 at Baghdad Airport? For sure, the terrorist act of assassinating the unmatched anti-terrorist hero was in continuation of U.S. hostility against the Islamic Revolution and the Islamic Republic of Iran. This hostility has continued incessantly for the past 42 years. The Iranian nation's firm resistance in the face of all plots by the global arrogance has been a role model to regional nations and beyond. This public uprising among different nations has horrified the US and the Zionist regime. These nations are seriously indebted to the sincere and selfless efforts of martyrs like Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who totally changed the balance of power in the region. The United States tried for years to destabilize Iran, but in vain. The Daesh terrorist outfit was obliterated by the courageous endeavors of Martyr Soleimani and his fellow combatants from Iran, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. This great development totally foiled the American conspiracy of disintegrating the region and turning it into a so-called Greater Middle East. The U.S. dispatched thousands of forces to the region under the guise of fighting terrorism, but in practice, it supported terrorism and didn't want to destroy the terrorists, as it was using them as a tool to further its own ends. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said, "The claim of formation of alliance against Daesh is a lie. Although the Americans are opposed to the controlled Daesh, they will confront anyone who wants to really destroy this terrorist Daesh group." Americans created the Daesh terrorist group in 2012 with the aim of overthrowing Bashar al-Assad, the legitimate government in Syria, and taking control of Iraq. But they faced enormous resistance and a roadblock called Qasem Soleimani. This came whilst the Americans waged bloody wars in the region in the name of fighting terrorism. Indeed, they have pillaged the wealth of Arab countries in the region. Donald Trump chose Riyadh for its first trip abroad after entering the White House. This was done with the same motive. He called the Arab regimes as milking cows. He tried to sell weapons and rescue America's bankrupt companies through Iranophobia. Alexander Konyazov, a Russian analyst, has commented on the assassination of General Qasem Soleimani by the U.S. terrorist army. Alexander Konyazov, a top Russian analyst, said, "The fact that ISIL terrorists have been formed in the RAND think tank corporation is a clear and known issue. General Qasem Soleimani was a bulwark, a dam against materialization of Washington's plan to dehumanize the Middle East and then spread it to the other neighboring regions and the entire world. History will be the judge of everyone and everything, but General Qasem Soleimani has in fact turned into a historical figure in his own time." Dear listeners, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani mobilized and organized the resistance front against Takfiri terrorists, which were created and supported by the United States, the Zionist regime of Israel, and Saudi Arabia. The assassination of top General Qasem Soleimani was a turning point in the history of the region and the beginning of the end of U.S. hegemony in West Asia. American analyst Noam Chomsky says, "Instability is an interesting concept in the political discourse. When Iran helps the Iraqi government and Kurdistan in defense against ISIL terrorists, this measure is described as instability. But when the United States attacks Iraq and kills hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis, displaces millions of people, destroys the country, and initiates sectarian clashes to disintegrate Iraq and disturb the entire region, and spread terrorism in the entire world, it is called a part of the American mission for stabilizing, which we should continue for the benefit of the world." The United States has breached and overtrodden international principles of law for the benefit of the Zionist regime of Israel and safeguarding its illegitimate interests in West Asia region. Iran's Defense Minister Brigadier General Amin Hatami says the assassination of top general Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was carried out with the aim of resuscitating U.S. presence in the region and undermining Iran's regional influence and deterrence power. Brigadier General Amir Hatami said, "The people's presence in the scene and the IRGC's missile response annihilated the mock awe of the United States and the system of arrogance and proved Iran's defense power and might to the entire world." Najah Muhammad Ali, an Iraqi expert in international affairs, said, "Donald Trump's assassination of great general Mata Soleimani was a big mistake and he fell in a trap that had been prepared for getting rid of him." The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said, "Thwarting all U.S. illegitimate designs for West Asia was an example of Mata Soleimani's bravery and courage." The leader added, "Americans tried to cast the issue of Palestine into oblivion and put the Palestinians in the weak position so that they would not dare to struggle. But this great man filled the hands of the Palestinians and gave them the courage and ability to struggle. The failure of the heavy and aggressive operation of the Zionists against Gaza in the recent years is a reality that has caused a nightmare for the United States and the leadership of the Zionist regime."
Good morning.
Our
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.